Practice makes perfect. Learn Minecraft.
Welcome to the Learn Minecraft podcast. Anne Kullberg is my guest today, and as a colour pencil artist myself, I couldn't be more excited to bring you this episode. Anne is an internationally acclaimed colour pencil artist, author, and educator who has been a leading voice in the colour pencil community for over 30 years. She is the founder of Colour Magazine and has written many best-selling books that have helped thousands of artists learn all about coloured pencil art. I found our conversation so inspiring, and I know that you will too. Thank you so much for joining me on this podcast, and I've been so looking forward to this since, I guess, picking up colour pencil. I've known you and your work, so I'm very, very excited to actually be speaking to you and chatting with you about your artwork and in colour pencil. So
thank you. As soon as I noticed you, I can't tell you what that was. I thought, wow, she's like got a lot going on. I was really impressed with your website and with the different things that you're doing. And yeah,
thank you so much.
I'm happy to be here. You've been on my radar.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Would you like to introduce yourself to those who don't know you?
I'm Anne Kullberg. I currently live in the Illinois, the Midwest in the U.S. But lived in the Northwest almost my whole life. I was born in Japan and speak Japanese, and I think we'll probably talk a little bit about that. But I discovered color pencil in, I think, about 87, when my children were tiny, and I just fell in love with it. And long story short, it became my life. Everything about my life revolves around colored pencil, and we can talk about that a little more. I'm 69. I am trying to retire, but it's really hard to retire from your own business, your own little empire. But I enjoy my time off. Yeah, I have a lovely home here in a tiny town in Illinois, about an hour from St. Louis. And I live to travel. And I'm just back from Thailand. I'm going to Utah this Friday and Japan for a month. A week after that, I go to Japan for a month. So I'm glad I'm still healthy enough to travel as much as I like.
Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, I'd love to hear more about your traveling. But let's start back at the beginning about the first time that you picked up a colour pencil and what drew you to colour pencil specifically.
So I always drew as a little kid. My mother, later in life, she found some letters that she'd written to my grandmother, her mother. Mm-hmm. And when I was four, she wrote to grandma that I was always coloring. That was going to be my special talent. And it was true. I absolutely loved coloring books. I hated it when my little brother would get a hold of my coloring books because he would scribble. And I already had a style, you know, like by five, I had a style in my coloring books. So I definitely always liked to draw, but never went to any art classes. I never took art classes because I felt like it's such a silly thing. I felt like you needed to be an artist to take art classes. And I don't understand, like, that's really true. You know, I think across all cultures, people don't take art unless they're already really good. And that's not how you take a piano lesson. You don't start piano after you know how to do piano.
Yeah.
I don't really understand it. But anyway, so I never took any art classes, but my parents gave me lots of art supplies. And anyway, so then I was married. I was visiting relatives of my ex-husband's, and there was this little drawing on the wall. I couldn't figure out what it was done with. Mm-hmm. And so I asked them, what is this drawing? Or what is this picture? And their daughter had done it and taken a class from Bette Borgeson in Portland, Oregon. And they said it was colored pencil. So I noted that, and that she had written a book. So I went to the library and found Bette Borgeson's book. It was called The Color Pencil. She was like the beginning of colored
Right.
pencil as a fine art medium. And I was fascinated and I loved her work. And so I bought a little set of like 24 colored pencils. And I, like really studied her book, and then I thought, you know what? I can't do this because Bette is kind of an accountant. She like keeps track of all her color mixtures, and I'm the farthest thing from an accountant. Like everything for me is messy, and so I knew there was no way I would keep a notebook with little, these three colors make this color. Like there's no way. So I thought, well, I guess that's not going to be my medium. And I returned the book to the library, and I put the pencils away. And didn't even try them. And then I don't know, one day, on a whim, I thought, well, maybe I could just do it my way. And sharpen them, sat down at the kitchen table and drew this thing, which, I'll send you a picture of the first piece I did, because when my neighbor saw it, she said, you should enter that in the Kitsap County Fair, which was just a little local fair, and I did, and I won first place. My first color pencil piece. And I tell you, when I picked that up, it wasn't just the pro winning a prize. When I picked those pencils up, it was like, the angel sang. It was like, oh, this is it. I found it. I found my medium. And then I just never looked back after that.
Oh, that's so incredible.
It was awesome. Then my little brother bought, oh man, it was probably my third piece. And we were young. I was like 27. He was 26. I mean, I was married and I had children, but he asked if he could buy a piece. And that like changed my life because I never actually in life, well, that's not true. As a gift, I have given a couple of pieces away. I think that's it, just two. But it put me on the right track from the beginning, instead of so many artists, they do work and they give it to the coworker and they give it to the this and they give it to, so that they don't have any value. There's no value in that art, whereas right from the beginning, my brother didn't say, could I have that? He said, could I buy it? And so I'm grateful to him that he kind of started my art career in a lot of ways.
Oh, that's so fantastic. So, what sort of things were you experimenting with in the beginning? Like, how were you using the color pencils?
That's a good question. I don't think anybody's ever asked me that. Yeah, I didn't, I knew a little bit because of Bette's book, and I knew what paper she used, which was a smoother paper. And I didn't, my very first piece, the one that won the prize, I did it on some, lousy sketch paper that I just had around. But then I was really lucky that we had a fabulous art store about 40 minutes from home. And so I would just haunt the halls of that place looking for different papers. And I just would buy all kinds of, just almost like samples, to try. And I think that was a big deal, was finding the paper that I was most comfortable with. I was also really, not having been to an art class ever, I didn't know anything. I mean, I just knew nothing. It was just what I just drew. That's all. I drew. And so I didn't know about paper weights, and I didn't know about what hot press meant or cold press meant. And this is before Google. So you didn't easily find things out. You just, it was trial, everything was trial and error back then. So I probably tried 20 different papers, and then I found Stonehenge. And once I found Stonehenge, for one thing, I found it because there was no poundage. Like it didn't say what the weight was, and it didn't say hot press or cold press. So it was like, oh, this one's easy. I could remember this one. And then it turned out just to be the paper that was perfect for what I wanted to do. And what I wanted to do was lots of layers. Like I wanted, because I didn't know what I was doing, I quickly found out that if I used light layers, like if I barely used any pressure, I could just keep building. Whereas like Bette, Bette was more straightforward. She would use, she would mix two or three colors. I wanted to mix 15 because I didn't know when I was going to get to the color I wanted. I wasn't,
Yeah.
you know what I mean? So in order to leave myself the leeway of continuing to add another color, I needed to use a light touch. And to do that, I needed a paper like Stonehenge.
Yeah, no, I understand that there's just it's a minefield sometimes when it comes to paper, isn't it? Because it's just
Yeah.
an enormous number of different types.
Well, and depending on your pencil and your technique, I mean, each of those papers, can either go with you, sort of
Yeah.
flow with you or fight you. And
Yes.
you can think, oh, I don't know how to do color pencil, but it's really just your paper.
I definitely found that at the beginning. I was just using like printer paper because I didn't know any different either, and I didn't realize that it would actually be better if I didn't use printer paper.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so at that time, because I had this history in Japan, I was drawing from old slides of my parents, dad's slides from Japan, because they'd been there 10 years. And I was born in Tokyo. I lived there till I was 7, and then I had been there a year in high school as an exchange student. And then I'd been back a few times. So I had my own collection of Japanese images. So because I was so crazy about Japan, that's what that's what I leaned towards was drawing Japanese. And also because I really, really like drawing people, I was drawing Japanese people.
Right, okay. Did you do landscapes and things at all, or was it mainly people?
As I did do a landscape because my dad asked for one, but I do not like doing landscapes. I mean,
Okay.
I'm enthralled for of people who can with this little tiny point, but yeah, no, it's not my thing, and it's also not my thing to draw fur. I don't like drawing hair. I think that's half the reason I did Japanese for so long was because their hair was easy. It was like short and black.
Yeah.
So, and then I was visiting my parents in Oregon. I was living in Washington, and I had three new pieces, and I'd taken them down to show them on a weekend visit when we went to the beach, the Oregon coast, and we walked into a gallery that had a lot of Asian art.
Okay.
And my parents said, "Oh, Anne, you need to show them your art." And it happened to be in the trunk of my car, and I said, "No, I'm not going to show them my art." And dad says, "Well, we're not leaving until you do." And was totally serious, and he made me go to the car and get this work out. And I was so, oh, see, I can't even tell you how
You
much
embarrassed.
yes, and I did not want to do this so badly. But so I bring this stuff out and I ask them, like, "Would you take a look at my work?" And he was like so snooty. He was like that quintessential gallery owner. His nose up in the air going,
Okay.
"Well, we'll take a, we have a jury and you can leave it for the weekend and blah, blah." So I said, "Okay." And I put it on the counter, and his attitude just changed instantly. Like just boom. He goes, "Oh." And
Oh.
he was like super interested. And the next day they called me and said that they would represent me.
Wow, well, that must have been a bit of a boost.
It was huge.
Yeah.
Huge. That was huge. And it sold well too. Like it that first year everything I took them sold, which was amazing. Now, I didn't make any money on it because color pencil is so slow, and at that time I didn't have a faster technique, so they were taking me like 150 hours, and I was getting $300 for them. Because the gallery took 60%, and they also charged me for their framing. So by the so a, a $1,000 piece, I took home a $300. So that was like $2 an hour, but it was better than nothing.
Exactly. It was a way to get yourself out there, wasn't it? Yeah, that's fantastic. So how has your style developed over the years then?
Oh yeah. So So that first year at the gallery, actually, I think even the second year too, I was it was just this real slow stumbling, this teeny, teeny, tiny circular motion, layer
Right.
after layer after layer. But I had a group of friends. There were three friends and I. The four of us would we would call it, we would go to dinner about once a month, and they got so tired of hearing me complain about how slow color pencil is. And one of the friends said, "Look, I'm sick of this. Go home and do a color pencil piece in 3 hours." And I laughed. I said, "You can't do that." But it like put a little seed in my head, like a challenge. I like challenges. So that weekend I tried something, and it's a little hard to explain, but on top of a sketch, a draw, an outline, like a draw, just a pencil drawing, I took my yardstick, and I drew these horizontal lines about an inch and a half apart, all over on with graphite, and then between those lines, I drew vertical lines
Okay.
with my color pencil. So I started filling in line by line, like horizontal line by line.
Right, okay.
And the lines were, like I said, about an inch and a half long. And those lines, and then the other rule was no more than three layers in any one spot. So lines are, I mean, you can fill up a lot of space really, really quickly with a vertical line versus little teeny tiny. And I did a big piece in 8 hours, and I was like beyond thrilled. And because I was doing Japanese images, it looked a little bit like a tatami mat. The Japanese tatami straw floor mat
Yeah.
has that vertical and horizontal. And I thought, oh, this is a cool gimmick. So I did three like that, and it was really, really fun. But then I got rid of the horizontal lines. I decided they were too distracting. But I kept the vertical quick method, and I realized it was great for backgrounds. So what I would do is the face in of a portrait in this little tiny stumbling where I had the most ultimate control, but then the backgrounds could be looser and faster. And I spent, like 150 hours went down to like 70 hours, which was way more doable. It kind of doubled my pay, didn't
Yes, definitely. No, that's wonderful. It's so interesting to see how artists develop their style when I guess when you're practicing one thing like timing or paper or like a different medium or something like that.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then I was asked to be in a book
Oh,
for
okay.
somebody else. And I was in that book. Oh, it was Gary Green, and he asked me to be in his book. He was doing a book on textures in color pencil, but he didn't do portraits. And so he wanted me to do a chapter on portraits. So
Like
I,
step by step.
right.
Right.
So I did I can't remember the name of that book, but it's something about textures. So that was published by Northlight Books. And then Northlight saw my work in that book and called me one day out of the blue. And by this time, I just have to tell you, by this time I was divorced. I had two small children. One of them was extremely handicapped and also very, very, they call it brittle. He could wake up fine, have a runny nose by 11, and be in the hospital by 1. I mean, he's like he was like
Oh.
one of these kids that would just get sick very, very, very quickly and very sick. So it was basically impossible for me to work outside of the house. And so it was just incredibly lucky that I had a skill. I mean, that I could do at home while the kids were there. So anyway, when Northlight called me to ask me if I would do this book, I mean, I was just so poor. I mean, I just, never was a bill paid on time. I mean, it was just, when I think about it now, I couldn't do it now. It's a good thing I was young, because I managed to be able to sleep every night. I don't know how, but I did. because, it was really tough. So when that call came from Northlight, I mean, it was life changing. I thought I have got to take advantage of this to the fullest degree. It was 1997 when they called me, and they were going to give me a year to write it, and then they said it would be a year to publish, to put it, together. So it would be published in 1999. And I said, the only way I can do this is if I work on commissions, because by this time I was doing portrait commissions. And they said, yes, that's fine. You can use your actual commissions for the step by steps for the book. So I worked on it from 97 to 99, eight, and it was published in 99. And it was the first book on portraits in color pencil. And it hit the color pencil world like by storm. I didn't even know that there was like, who knew? I mean, at one point it was the 1,000th best selling book on Amazon.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
That
incredible.
it was. And that lasted several days. It was in the under 1,000 for several days. I mean, the world was ready for a book on color pencil portraits. And I had been somehow smart enough in 98 when I knew the book was coming out pretty soon to get a domain
Oh, okay.
and build a website and get an email address and all that. And then I put that in the book and about the author. And that also changed my life. I didn't know anything about computers, but when the book came out and it was popular, I got all this mail, email. People were writing me, oh, I love you.
Oh,
And da 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 da. And with questions, lots and lots of questions. And so one day I get this email saying, could you give me online, could you give me lessons online? Her name was Debbie Mason and she lived in Fredericksburg, Texas. And I laughed out loud when I read the email. And my daughter, who was 15 at the time, was standing next to me and she said, what's so funny? And I said, this lady wants me to teach her color pencil online. And isn't that funny? And my daughter said, well, you could. In fact, you could do like a magazine online and you could teach a bunch of people at the same time. And I said, I could? Really? Yeah, it'd be easy, she said. So, how do I make this really fast? I sent out emails to all those people that I kept their email, the fan mail that had come in. Say, would you pay $25 for 6 months of a color pencil magazine if I wrote it? And checks started coming in. So then I'm like, okay, to my daughter, okay, how do I do this? And she goes, I don't know, but it'll be easy. She didn't know anything.
The deep end and then didn't know how to help you.
But oh, and it was so hard. I'm telling you, that first month, I mean, I didn't know anything, nothing about a computer. I could type. That was it.
So was that the beginning of Color Magazine then?
Yes. So that started in 19, the first issue was November 1999.
Wow.
Yeah. This is
That's very
26,
cool.
26 years later. And I remember a friend said, oh, honey, this is a mistake because you are going to run out of content. And, 26 years later, most of the time we have too much content.
Oh my gosh, that's fantastic. So how did that sort of start off with then? Like, did you know what to even do tutorials about, or did you ask your fandom? Like, how did that sort of start off knowing what to put into the magazine itself?
No, I don't know. I figured, oh, well, you know what it was? It was that I mean, at that point, I was teaching probably 15 workshops, 16, 20 workshops a year. So I was in front of artists all the time, right? So, and I would talk to them. And that's how you learn what they want. So I could tell that critiques were something they wanted. So, in the first, I don't know, 10 years of the magazine, there was always a critique in every issue. And then people would send me email or questions all the time by email. So I'd have a Q&A section. And then I was still a working artist. So I would do whatever I was working on. I would be the step by step, what would be the lesson. And then I don't know, I just made up some other stuff that I thought artists would like. And, boom, I had a magazine.
That's so incredible because I love your magazine.
Oh, thank you.
So, what challenges have you faced in your artwork and how have you pushed through them? I guess the timing was one of them.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, really, just that it takes a lot of time. I mean, I just never, I was born an optimist, you know, like it's just part of my genes. It's from my dad. And I just never like, if I could see it, I felt like I could draw it. I mean, it might take me a little while. There was like some ivy that I had to do one time, a big mass of ivy. And that was just like, oh my God. Usually I try to do I call it a system, like come up with a system, like, okay, so layer
Right, okay.
one is this and layers two is that, and then you do this and you break it up and blah blah blah, and then it just happens. Ivy, I could not find a system. I ended up having basically to draw leaf by leaf, which was excruciating for me. Like, that is just not how I work. I am not a detailed person. People think I'm detailed. I'm not. Like, I do as little as possible to make it look like I just drew a leaf when I really didn't. So that was like, I didn't break through that. I just had to work through it and I hated every minute. The only other thing I can think of as a challenge was that I was doing a portrait. In fact, it's on the cover of the book, which is actually sort of ironic. The portrait is the only time I did snow. She was in the snow. And that wasn't even intentional. It was just that I drove 14 hours to get to Montana from Washington, from Seattle, to take the photos for a portrait commission. And it was a beautiful spring day that the 14 hours that I drove, and I get to my location, wake up in the morning, snow. It had snowed overnight. And this was the only day. I mean, it wasn't like I could sit around for 3 days waiting for the snow to go away. So we had to take pictures in the snow. And I did was not excited about this at all. I was not excited about drawing snow. But so you know that I use Stonehenge. I use Stonehenge white. And so I transferred this drawing onto this nice piece of Stonehenge. And I was teaching Saturday morning classes at the time, and my drawing was a quarter of the way through, and it was sitting on my drawing table. And on a Saturday morning class, I was at my drawing table, and somebody brings their Stonehenge over to my drawing board and sits it on top of my table. And that's when I noticed with horror that her paper was white and my paper was cream. And I was drawing snow on cream colored Stonehenge. I was like, no, this can't have happened. Well, I don't know what happened really. I would buy paper in lots of 25, and I think a piece just got in, if you don't have something to compare it to. So how do you draw snow on cream and then frame it? Because all my mats were white. As soon as you put the white on, you would know that I wasn't, But I also was not going to start over. And I have to tell you, in all these years, I've never started a piece over. I once
Really?
I've started, I plow through no matter what.
Well, that's quite an achievement because even I've had to start over a few
No, I
times.
will not start over. I've put that work in, dang it. I am going to finish. And so I ended up matting it in a fairly dark gray, which was the only time I ever didn't mat in white.
Okay.
And it worked, and it's
Yeah.
on the cover, so I guess it was a successful piece. I just think it's funny.
That's funny. I think it is like that sometimes with your most challenging pieces. You never know what other people think of them and how they see them, because
Right.
all you see is like the faults and how hard it was to do and all of that background noise, I suppose. But they don't
Right.
see any of that. They just see the final result.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's fantastic. So you've been working in colour-pressed pencil for decades now. How have you seen this medium evolve over time?
Oh, it's so not like it was in 99, I'll tell you that. I mean, for one thing, in the US, it was only, well, there were only, we only had two available pencils, were the Derwent, the original Derwent, which was like hard, you know, it was a hard, it's a hard pencil, and I couldn't do anything with it. I just couldn't get them to do anything I wanted them to do. And then the Prismacolor, which at the time when I first started, it was Barrel Prismacolor. I mean, yeah, Barrel Prismacolor. And that was it. So everybody, almost everybody used color Prismacolor. So it was really easy. So once the magazine came out and I had an audience, then I realized, oh, they'd probably like some tutorials. So then I started doing tutorials and selling those. And that was like so easy because it was all Prismacolor because everybody just had Prismacolor. So you didn't even have to worry about, will people have pencils or not, you know? So in a lot of ways, like it was easier then to be a color pencil artist because everybody was just kind of on the same page. It's gotten so much more complicated with all of the brands that are available and how they, not only all the brands, but now the brands have different, you know, varieties. So, I mean, there's so much to choose from. Like, I don't even know how somebody would start now. It would be so confusing, I would think, and so expensive compared to when, you know, it 30 years ago or 25 years ago, you just really had to buy like the 150 set of Prismacolor and you were set for life, you know. Now, like, how do people afford it? Because you have to try the luminance, you got to try the this, and you got to try the that, and figure out which of those brands works best on which paper. I mean, I don't even know. I don't even know how people do it. But what our tutorials, like, so, you know, many years ago, probably 10 years ago, we started really expanding so that we would purposely look for people to work on different surfaces with different pencils, so people would have some guidance when they started, you know, with this surface or that pencil brand. So yeah, that has a huge change. It's just what's available, you know, to artists. And different papers, like, I mean, drafting paper. Are you kidding me? Nobody. It was Stonehenge. That was it. And I remember being really excited the first time I saw somebody work on canvas. Like, it was like, wow, mind blowing. Oh, you can do that. You can do color pencil on canvas. That's amazing.
I see so many people doing colored pencil. Like, I saw someone doing it on a rock.
Yeah, rocks
What?
and
Okay.
stone paper gourds. You know, I've actually in the upcoming Color Pencil Treasures book, we've got somebody who did a screen, like a Japanese folding screen.
Oh, because on wood, it's really good
No,
at
it's on
sharing.
a paper.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Yeah, I know. It's amazing. It's amazing.
That's very
So
cool.
yeah, that's one of I think one of the most exciting things about color pencil. It feels like, I mean, it just feels almost endless what people can do with this medium. Compared to how we thought of it in the, you know, 20 years ago.
So what are your go-to materials now then? Like, do you still use Stonehenge or have you tried other pieces of paper?
So, I mean, to be honest, I just barely draw anymore. For one thing, I really miss my young eyes. Like, even with, you know, various, and I have many pairs of glasses, none of them work like my 20-year-old eyes did, you know? And I worked really, really, really close at my paper. So I don't enjoy the detail that I used to thrive on. I mean, that's what I absolutely loved in the face, was getting in there and really, and it's just not enjoyable anymore. So I really didn't draw for quite a while. I did, my last piece was, I call it a Braver Heart. I'll send you a picture of that one. And that was kind of fun. I got to do some experimenting in the background. But a couple of years ago, but you know, the other thing is my studio's down in the basement and it's a nice big studio and everything, but I don't know, I just can't make myself go down there. So a
Is
couple
it
of
not
years ago,
inspiring?
what's that?
Is it not inspiring enough?
Maybe that, I don't know, maybe it's because it doesn't have windows and I'm kind of a window person. Who knows? Who knows? There's no room for it upstairs here in my current home, but that I wanted to draw one day, and I thought, you know, I got to figure out how to do this in front of my TV. And so I picked up a piece of canvas board. The board was important because then, you know, I could just hold it in one hand and draw with the other while sitting in my recliner. And I whipped out this portrait of my granddaughter in a night, basically watching TV. I mean, in just hours. And I realized, oh my gosh, I love this canvas because you can't do detail. You just can't.
Okay.
You can't. So,
Is it because it's too rough?
yeah, it's too rough. You just can't. So you have to let go of all that detail. And I also realized, oh, it'll take any amount of abuse. So I pulled out all these other mediums that I'd sort of collected over the years but never used. So I have like the ink tents and markers and gel pens and past crayons and just everything. You know, I threw everything out and tried everything on it and absolutely loved it. So I've done a few, not that many, because I'm lazy. I'm also busy. I travel, as like I said, as much as I possibly can. I'm away from the house, and I've got a big house and yard and to take care of. And
You'll need to create a travel set then, won't you, to take on the plane with you?
yeah, no, I can't see me doing that on the plane. And I also spent the last year writing a book, an actual a nonfiction, I guess you could call it a memoir. It's a love story that happened to me in with a man in Japan years ago. And I've just finished that, so I'm working on rewriting that and then the launch for that. So you know, I'm a busy person. And you know, I do still work. So I still have a website and classes and a magazine. Now, I don't do the magazine anymore myself, but we've got five people working for us, for AnnColbert.com. So yeah, you know what? I like to draw, no question about it. But I feel like what I really like doing, well, it used to be teaching. What I really loved to do was teach because I was an English teacher for a little bit. But you know, what I love is color pencil. I don't know how else to say it. I just was like, I absolutely think they're the most amazing things in the world. And the color pencil art is so utterly amazing. And I feel like what I was actually born to do was to champion color pencil art, color pencil artists. That's my work. So it's not really about my own drawing. I'm a decent artist, but I'm far from the best color pencil artist. You know, I'm better at promoting you.
I feel like you've definitely done that because, you know, I feel like every person who does color pencil, like actually like wants to work with the medium, knows who you are. They at least know your magazine, they at least know your books or your website or something that you've created. I feel like you can't be a color pencil artist if they don't know who Anne Kohlberg is. Like it's just not how it works.
Well, thank you. You know, I've just been around so long, right? And been around and hung in there. Like in 2008, when we had the financial crash, we didn't have an order in 2 weeks, 2 solid weeks, not a single order passed our desk. And I thought, well, that's it. We're done. You know, I mean, I can't keep this up. But we hung in there. And, you know, a lot of success is just hanging in there, not giving up.
So how do you see color pen the world of color pencil like heading to in the future then, as you've seen it grow?
I wish I could say I see it in museums and, you know, accepted as a serious art medium. But I kind of feel like it's like pottery or watercolor. I guess I just kind of feel like it's always going to be oil. It is always going to be about oil. Oil is art and everything else is a hobby. And that's not true, you know, it's not true, but But it is. I mean, because pottery's been around forever and pastel's been around forever, but none of them have the weight of oil. And maybe it's partially because a museum wants to have a piece last for 200 years. And we still don't know if color pencil,
I guess
how
it's
it's
quite
gonna.
new, isn't it? It's quite a new medium. Even if like they are made of wax based or oil based, like you still don't know. And it
The
says it's
picture.
light fast.
Right.
You still don't really know how light fast. How long is this actually going to, not deteriorate over time?
Exactly. It's just too new. But beyond that, it's just a pencil, and it's always going to be a humble pencil. And so that, even though I wish I could say that's what's going to happen, that's not, I don't think. How it'll evolve, I can't tell you, except for I think it's probably going to continue to get more and more the complex, like more. It's hard for me. I don't know how people ever look into the future, because I don't know how, because if you'd told me 10 or 15 years ago the things that you can do with colored pencil today, or the pieces that you see, I mean, you see these gigantic pieces, bigger than life, that look so real, you cannot believe it's not a photograph, right? And people are doing this with color pencil. If you had shown me that 20 years ago, I would have said, that's not going to happen. So I guess it'll just continue to become more complex, more varieties of ways of using it and technique.
Have you ever played with scale? Like, have you ever done something like, what's your biggest piece?
Yeah, no, well, that's kind of funny. My biggest piece was my first commission, which
Okay.
again is really kind of funny. I was just stupid. It's true. I could not work on my Stonehenge because it was so much bigger than my drawing table, and it would have just buckled. So I had to find it was really a board. I don't even remember how I got it home, but yeah, and I can't tell you how big it was, except for it was really big. Because I had to rent a van to get it down to deliver it, because
Oh
once it
my
was
gosh.
framed, it wouldn't fit in my car. So I had to rent a van to get it down to Oregon to deliver it. But that, so that, okay. The gallery where I did really well the first 2 years, the third year at Langwit didn't do so well. But that third year, I just remember like it was yesterday. I was mopping the kitchen floor and the phone rang. And it was always like, do I answer it or don't I? Because it was probably going to be a bill collector. But I answered it, and the woman had seen my work at the Seaside Gallery and wanted to know if I did commissions. And I said, oh, yes, I do commissions. I'd never done a commission. And she said, oh, wonderful. Well, would you be coming to visit the space where it's going to hang? And I said, oh, yes, absolutely. And she said, and will you do some mock-up sketches for us? I said, oh, yes, I always do mock-up sketches. I didn't know any of this. Like, she taught me the business.
Just by asking you the right questions.
She gives me her address, and we set up a time, and I drive down from Washington to Oregon. It's about a 2.5 hour drive. And I pull up to the house, and I think, oh my gosh, I just hit the jackpot, because it was a mansion and extremely wealthy family. And anyway, she wants basically her whole one living room wall to be this piece. She was redoing her living room into an Asian sort of look, and she wanted some Japanese art. So I worked up some sketches for her and sent them down to her, and she chose the one that she wanted. And then I got this massive piece of board and worked on it. And I charged $1,400 for it. I remember being almost weak in the knees when I asked her for $1,400, because at the time, $5 was a lot to me. how, you know, this woman was going to turn pale and say no, but she didn't. And she bought it. And then the thing was, she was like at the top of her social circle. And so everybody below her wanted me to do a piece for them. So she started my entire commission business.
Wow.
Word of mouth from that. She ended up getting four pieces from me because she wanted me to do her three children's portraits.
Oh, wonderful.
That's kind of
Was
how.
that commission piece a portrait as well?
No, the commission piece was a photo I'd taken in the kindergarten that I had attended when as a child in Japan and gone back and taken pictures. So it was kind of special to me because it was my kindergarten, a little boy. Yeah, but no, she started my portrait business because then she asked me to do her one son, and then a cousin saw that and wanted me to do it, and then blah, 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 and it just like snowballed.
Yeah. No, that's definitely how it works, isn't it? It's just one person after the other just keeps asking, and without knowing it, you've started a commission business.
Right, right,
Whether you
right.
wanted to or not.
Oh, I wanted to because the
Yeah.
gallery, you know, gallery sales are so, you have no idea, you know, are you going to do it? Are you not? Or is it going to sell? Is it not going to sell? You could wait months.
But she found you through the gallery, didn't she? So that was, yeah,
Yes.
worth doing then.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, I was in two other galleries for that reason. Like, I didn't care about gallery sales. You don't make any money on a gallery sale. They take, you know, they have to. I don't blame them. They have to
Yeah.
make a living too. So, yeah,
I
I
guess that
wanted
was your
commission.
way of advertising, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh gosh, that's fantastic. So can you tell us more about what you do in terms of like your website? You've got books, you've got color magazine, like I guess what is your empire? Like what are all the different things that you do?
It's evolved over time. We with you know when the magazine was younger, we did tutorials and we actually shipped them. Like we printed, we had them printed and compiled, and it came with the paper that you used in the kit. We called them kits. And we didn't include the pencils, but and those were hugely popular for the longest time. And then
I can imagine why.
I'm sorry.
I can imagine why. It sounds like a really good starting point for people.
Yes, exactly. And we would have them various levels of difficulty, you know, and then definitely we tried hard to do different papers. And of course this got to be more and more challenging as a business because now, you know, we weren't just carrying 8 by 10 sheets of Stonehenge. We were carrying 8 by 10 sheets of Stonehenge and black arches and black Stonehenge and drafting film. You know, it went on and on and on. I mean, pretty soon, well, not pretty soon, but over the years, and this was all out of my home. So I was devoting more and more space to inventory, you know, carrying paper and then carrying the kits themselves and then carrying the books. And as we publish more and more books, we started publishing our own books with the first volume was called CP Treasures Volume One, and it's a compilation of what I call the masters in what's happening right now in color pencil. That was something I really wanted out there. I felt like, and I still feel that that sort of adds a little bit of seriousness to the medium. Look, people, this is what happens. This is what's happening in color pencil in 2011. And look what happened by 2013. You know, I wanted a chronicle, a documentation of this medium and how it's growing. So anyway, and it was successful. I mean, people bought it, and so we're just now in the process of launching Color Pencil CP Treasures Volume 10. So the first one was in 2011, and now, you know, we're doing Volume 10. And it's going to be beautiful. So then when that worked, I think I started The secret to success is having other people work for you in a way that helps them.
Right, okay.
So then I started approaching other artists saying, hey, do you want to write a book? So we just had to edit it and lay, do the layout and market it. I couldn't write another book. I'd written three by that time, and there wasn't anything else for me to say. So, but there were plenty of other artists, with plenty to say. So we
Well, that's
started that. I
fantastic.
think that first one was, I think it was actually Gemma Guiling's, and she wrote a book on cats for us.
Yes, I've seen that one.
Yeah. And then
Yeah.
that was popular, so we just kept going. I don't know. I have no idea how many titles we have now, but it's lots.
Yes, you do have a lot of books.
We have a lot of books.
What's
We
your
have one.
favorite one that you've worked on then?
Not, well, I was just gonna say, I think my favorite series is the one on surfaces, because we have, we have like one on drafting film, one on black paper, one on watercolor paper. And I just think that's like, I mean, if I think that's my favorite series, because if I were starting now in color pencil, that's right where I would go. Is like, even if I didn't do all of the projects in the books, even just reading it and seeing, oh, this is what happens when you put this on black paper, would be so helpful to help me start to, sample the different ways to work on color pencil. Like, I cannot work on black paper. I've done it, I think, three times in my life, but it makes me sick to my stomach, like literally nauseous, because you have to think backwards. Like, I can't do it. Like, how do you think backwards? Because instead of working light to dark, you work dark to light, and it's like, I just don't know how to think that way. But some people, obviously, that's just, that's how they think.
Yeah, I've seen some people do incredible like tigers and things on black paper, and it's just like, wow, that looks just so cool.
Oh, it's a gorgeous surface, but not for me.
Have you tried different colored paper then? Because you did white and cream. What about other colors? Nope.
I just don't know. My whole thing is like, I can look at anything in my environment and like figure it out in Prismacolor. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, I'm looking at my glasses right now that are sitting on the desk, and I'm like, okay, yeah, I would start that with a deco blue, and then my next layer would be a cool gray. I mean, I can just like break it down. I know what colors to start with and what to build up to, but I can only do that. I think in Prismacolor, and I cannot do it backwards. I can't, like, no, I don't even understand what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's true. I tried I think it was called buttermilk paper, and it was like a yellowy color, and that just confused me. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what color to start with, because it was just
Yeah.
like a bright yellow as well. It wasn't like a cream.
Oh,
Yeah, I
right.
was just like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'll just start again.
Now, my hat is off to those who, Amy Lindenberger has written most of our surfaces books, and I mean, she can work on anything, and she just knows how to use that brown, paper,
Right, okay.
how to use it so that you're not working so hard. Which, if I could have done that, I mean, it would have been brilliant as a portrait artist, but not for me.
Yeah. No, it's definitely fun experimenting with surfaces. I think you learn a lot about yourself and how you work as an artist when your surface has changed.
Right, absolutely. And drafting film, same thing. Like, people do such beautiful, vivid work on it, and I make a mess.
So, you've taught countless students now. What do you find the most rewarding about teaching this medium?
Yeah, I don't, I really don't, I rarely teach now anymore either, but I've taught so much. And what I loved the most was that, I just loved it when I would demo an eye, and there would be these little tricks, they're just tricks, and they're just things I learned over time that saved time, or gave that illusion, the illusion of depth. So I absolutely would love showing a little trick and say, see when you do this? And everybody would go, oh, Or wow. And, oh my gosh, I love that so much because you could just see the light bulbs going off and like,
Yeah.
oh, I love that so much. Yeah.
Oh, so
That's
cool.
pretty fun. Yeah.
What are some of the like common struggles that beginners were facing then?
Well, I mean, this is only specific to my technique, really, but people just really had a hard time with a light touch. I mean, a lot of people have a hard time with a light touch, and they think they're, using very little pressure, but they're for compared to me, they're like, smearing it on. I mean, it's just like, no. I mean, light, like feather light. I call it a whisper of a whisper. I mean, that's my stroke, which is why it takes so long, right? But yeah, I found that people had a hard time with that. And the problem with a heavy touch, if you don't know what you're doing and you don't know how to build color yet, the problem is your tooth fills up too quickly. You run out of options. You can only do three or four layers, but maybe you haven't reached your color yet. Maybe that isn't the right color yet. And so that's, I feel like the two things were not understanding how to build color and not understanding that you really need a lighter touch in order to do that if you're working on paper. I think almost anything really. I mean, not to say, I mean, one of the authors that who's written several books for us, many books for us, is Cynthia Knox, and she works with a heavy touch, and she manages gorgeous colors and quite a few layers, but she works on a different paper, but can't do the number of layers I can. I mean, on my skin tones in a portrait, I can do 30 layers, and that's not a problem. But whereas she's probably limited to six or seven with her heavy touch.
Oh, I was
So,
going to do a workshop with her back in 2020 when everything happened and it was got cancelled and I was like, no, because she was coming to Oxford, so
oh gosh. That's
yeah.
too bad. She's wonderful. We're friends, and she is an incredible teacher. I mean, she teaches her guts out. If you could take an online class from her, we recommend it. It's not the same as being in person, but it's close. Actually, in some ways, you know what happened in 20. So I was teaching, but well, I'll tell you what, I have taught in 45 of our 50 states. I've taught in six countries. And I have taught on 33 cruises. So color pencil has taken me a long ways.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah. But why did I bring that up? Oh, shoot. Senior moment.
I
It actually just completely left me. That's too bad. I wasn't just saying it to brag or anything. I mean, but it's amazing, really, that little box of
don't
24 color pencils taking me all over the world
know,
is amazing. But we were talking. Oh, I know. So, yeah, I was a busy girl running around all over the country, renting cars and hotels and meeting spaces and doing all this teaching. And then COVID. And not only that, but we had invested 2 years into this program called SOAR, where we had like 13 teachers that were teaching for us around the country. And then COVID hit. And oh my gosh, I mean, I was just so afraid. What are we going to do? But one of our teachers who had a workshop like coming up in a month said, "What if we do it on Zoom?" And I didn't know anything. I'd never even heard of Zoom. And she, Gretchen Parker, she was brave enough to try it, and we tried it. And it's not the same as being in an in-person workshop, but in some ways it's a lot better. You do not have somebody next to you talking nonstop or jiggling the table. You don't have to worry about temperature control because half the time you're either cold in a workshop or you're dying because it's so stuffy. You don't have to rent a car and get a hotel room and lug your stuff in and out. I mean, the only really downside is that you don't get a hug at the end of the workshop from your teacher. And what else? I mean, really, there's just not a lot of downside. You get to feed your dog, every day. I mean, it's just like, You get to take a nap if you want in the middle. I mean, there's just so much. And so, we've continued, and they've been very, very successful too, as our online workshops have been great. I know some people really, really miss the in-person ones, but I don't
Would
know
you
if they'll
start those
ever.
up again?
Oh no. I mean, it's just there's so much work. So much work.
I guess
Even like,
hiring a place as well and getting all the materials is a cost already before you've even filled the places.
right. So then the workshop itself has to be more expensive. It has to, we were, I think, at $350, I think, maybe for a 2-day workshop for me, when we left. And a 2-day workshop now online is like $175. So it's like half the price, plus no hotel, plus no lunches out, plus no, for the student itself, it's so much cheaper. So then more people get, we even have these little classes, we call them jelly beans. They're 60 to 90 minutes, and they're only $35 for, no matter what it is, it's $35. So we're accessible to so many more people than the ones who were retired and had some savings could come to our workshops. Basically, that was like kind of it.
Yeah, because now your location is the whole world, not just where the workshop is.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, we have people from, India and Israel and Denmark taking our classes. It's really kind of fun.
So you've built like this incredible platform for artists and this community as well. What do you think is the secret to that success?
Well, in the early years, the secret was I had no choice. And that was, I mean, a lot of times I say it's just, I'm here, I'm talking to you today because my son was handicapped. I mean, that really is what it comes down to. Because if it had not been, if Kevin hadn't been so needy, I would have figured out how to get back to teaching. And I needed to take some classes because we moved out of state and all that. But I would have figured it out if it weren't for him. And so a lot of times I just think motivation is just simply that you have no other choice, there was, I just didn't have any other choice. But then once maybe I had some choices, by then, I think I like striving. I think of a person who likes to strive. Like, I'm not very, I mean, I can take a vacation where I just sit in a chair and look at the beach for hours. Like, I'm a sitter like you cannot imagine. But I also really like things that are hard to do. So I think part of it is personality, just sort of enjoying that it's hard.
Yes. Well, you'd have to because you worked so hard to build like a huge network of artists. That's not easy.
Well, and I will also say that there were probably 15 years where I worked 70 hours a week. I mean, I didn't, the TV never was turned on. I ate at my desk, lunch and dinner. I mean, I just worked. And, was it fun? It
Did
kind
you
of
work?
was, it still kind of was, because it was building. I could see that it was building, I mean, I could see it. So, I mean, it was work, but it also was sort of like fun.
Yes. I guess
Today,
it depends.
no. I mean, I am not about that at all now. Now I'm like, I want to work 3 hours a day. I want to be done. I want other people to take care of the hard stuff.
Yeah.
I want to go plant some geraniums.
Well, I guess that's the point of like working so hard in your youth is that you can just reap the rewards of that, 70-hour weeks,
Right.
That
Right. Yeah.
was the point of doing that.
You're absolutely right. It was the point of doing that and building up enough. One thing I will tell you this. This is one thing I always said, and I believe it to this day. And what it is, my philosophy is what helps you helps us all. So people say, oh, you do such a great job of showcasing other artists and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I don't do that just out of the goodness of my heart, I do that because I think that what helps you really does help me. And what helps me really does help you. We're in the same community. We're all in color pencil.
Exactly.
If we all help each other, we all benefit. I am not about competition. Like I hear that other mediums, I don't want to get anybody in trouble, so I'm not going to say which medium, but I've heard especially about one medium that they're all very like jealous of their own tips and techniques, and they don't share completely. And I feel like color pencil artists aren't like that. Maybe it's because we're the baby medium, but I feel like we're all quite sharing. I think that's why it's done what it's done. I think that's why it's grown as much as it has, because we are generous with our own knowledge. And do uplift each other. And I just think that helps.
Definitely. Yeah, I definitely feel like that support, especially on social media, it is a huge support of color pencil artists all helping each other, giving tips and giving tricks and doing
Yeah.
tutorials and all that kind of stuff. It's just so nice.
No, I know. And I had somebody who started Color Pencil, and she was like really, she was buying like everything we had, and she was a great customer. And then one day she just disappeared. Not that I noticed. I didn't notice that she disappeared, but she wrote and said, she emailed and said, I want you to know I didn't disappear because I was unhappy. I changed mediums. And she changed to pastel. And she said, when I started, I went looking for your clone in the color pencil in the pastel world, and was shocked to find that there's nobody like Ann Kohlberg, no central play. There's not the support in the pastel world that there is in the color pencil world. And I was so happy to hear that, gratified to hear that, made me proud of our community, that we are sharers at mostly, and it helps everybody.
Yeah, definitely. That's so wonderful. So for artists hoping to turn their colored pencil work into a career, what's one piece of advice that you'd give them?
Well, don't give up, but that's not, what it's the thing is, some people just are never really gonna make a living at color pencil. That's kind of the truth. Well, you know what? I'm gonna take that back, because I just thought of something. I remember there's this one person in a workshop of mine, and she was so earnest. Oh gosh, she was just so it. She was so earnest, and her work was so bad, and I thought,
Oh.
oh, this poor thing is just, I don't think there's a prayer for her. But you know what? She kept going. She did not stop. She took classes. She took my classes constantly. She did all, she did not give up. And do you know that she got better and better and better? And then she found, I'm not going to say what it is because it'll give her away. And I don't want, anybody to hear how her what her beginnings are, what I thought of her at the beginning. But in the end, she found this niche that was absolutely perfect, and she made a living with colored pencil, and proved me wrong. So I guess, I think it's just don't give up and be true to yourself. Like, if what you like to do is just smash the paper, figure out how to smash the paper and make a living at color pencil. If what you like is fantasy, just do it, but do it better than anybody else and more true to yourself. Don't give up, and be do what makes you sing.
Definitely. No, that's so true because I guess people, your buyers, your collectors are buying not just your art, but they're buying you. They're coming to you because you're the artist that's created it. So the more true you are to your art that you create, I think that really comes through into the artwork and makes it more desirable by people that love your style and what you've created and the voice that you're giving to your pieces. It's just easier to, I guess, show that if you're more true to yourself when you create those pieces.
Like, I had a woman come to, so I used to teach these super workshops where it was a week or 5 days just
Oh,
with
wow.
three or four students. Yeah, very almost one-on-one, And she came to the workshop, and she was doing this portrait, and kind of struggling. And I said, bring your art, bring your stuff. I want to see your stuff. So the next day three, I think, she brought this work in, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you already have a style. People work 20 years to get a style, and you had one. And why are you coming here to learn my stuff when, I mean, you have it. If I could do what you do, I would do it because it's fabulous. And that person was Rhonda Dixon. She's now the editor of Color Pencil Magazine, Color Magazine. But her style, if you don't know, look her up, Rhonda Dixon. Only it's DICKSION. She works on drafting film. She does these outlines. She simplifies everything. Her color. I mean, it's a style. And so yeah, she was really happy she came to the workshop because I kind of got her off the trail that she was trying to do because everybody else does that when she had her magic already.
No, fantastic. Yeah, because everyone thinks, oh, you have to do realism or you have to do
Right.
a certain way. It's like, it's not at all. It's just that that's what some people like, but not everybody can do it or want to do it.
And
So,
yeah, the
yeah.
more you do what makes you sing, what makes you happy, the closer you are, to your own personal art.
Definitely. Yeah. That's what I always try and say to people when they're asking me specific things like, oh, how do you know the color to use that? Or how do you draw, basically, how do you draw a white dog or something? It's like, well, for one thing, it's completely dependent on the reference photo because there's so
Right.
much lighting that goes into white
Right.
fur. I don't know what picture you're working from.
Right.
And then
Yeah,
again, like, yeah.
not just that, the lighting and what room are they in? Are they in a
Yeah.
green room? I mean, it's gonna have green tones, Yeah, you
Exactly.
right.
Like there's so many different things. There's not necessarily a shortcut to, oh yes, if you're drawing a white dog, you have to use these specific colors. Like there's
Right.
a general, I guess, approach, but at the end of the day, use your opinion of it and
Yeah.
experiment.
So in a way we're saying, oh, don't take classes and don't do tutorials. But that is not what I'm saying. And
No.
not just because I don't want you, but because that actually can give you like this, like, oh, I love this. And then go from there, or
It
you're going to.
exposes you, doesn't
Yeah.
it? So if you do tutorials from multiple different artists that do different styles, it exposes you to those different ways of doing it, and then you can figure out what you like.
Exactly. Yes, as you're doing something, you go, oh, this is it. This is me. And then you go, you follow that path, right?
Definitely, yeah. So looking back on everything that you've accomplished, what are the things that you're most proud of and what's next for you?
Yeah. I'm most proud of. Well, I mean, I guess kind of what I've already been saying. I think I'm probably most proud of whatever help that we've been able to give to new artists. In the end, we're all sort of like self-involved. And so for me, especially new artists who don't have any money. Basically me, if somebody could have come and helped me at the beginning, and that's what I'm always trying to do is like sort of help that new artist who doesn't have a ton of money to invest. And if our magazine can inspire them or teach them a new trick or save them time, or if a tutorial can help them, if our contest Con, you know, our def different contests or shows can give them that feeling like, wow, like I got when I, won some prizes early on. If we've done that, and I know we've done all of that, I'm most proud of that. What's in my future? I hope more days around the pool.
Sounds like it's well earned.
Thank you. Yeah, more. That's really it. I don't really know I don't really know how to retire, like I said at the beginning. I don't really know how to exit. But we sl kind of slowly are. I mean, I'm slowly slowing down the business. Like we're not we the CP Treasures that's coming out soon is our last volume. Doing that again. We won't be doing the cruises again. We're doing our last one in June of this year or July. No, it's June. And just because I'm like I said, I'm almost 70 and I wanna kick back. And but I also, I've been doing this forever. I don't want to like totally just ditch everything. So it's just sort of evolving into a quieter, more, I still have the different people that work for me, and as long as I only, have to work a few hours a day, we'll probably continue as long as the world wants us.
Definitely, like it's the place to go when you're a beginner.
Well, thank you. That makes me very happy.
Well, thank you so much, Anne, for joining me. It's been enlightening, and I've just loved talking to you about your beginnings and how you've created this incredible place for artists, and even learning more about your own artwork, because that isn't really seen enough, I think, in on your website and I guess on your social media. We want to see more of you. Upload
I
everything,
know.
let's see it.
I know. I'm social media, I'm terrible at, and you're right. I do not toot my own horn on even on my well, you have to like look for my work on the website, but that's fine. It's not what I'm about. I'm about you.
No, it's been really wonderful. Thank you so much for joining me. I've been
Well,
really
thank
looking
you.
forward to this.
Well, thank you so much, and it's been really fun, really enjoyable, and I hope to see more of you.
Yes, definitely. You definitely will. Well, thank you, and have a lovely day.
Oh, thank you. Bye
Bye.
bye.
Bye. If you've enjoyed listening, remember you can watch this podcast with video and no ads at learnmycraft.com, where you'll also find animal art practice journals, books, and tutorials to get you started. Hit subscribe and follow the podcast, and we'll see you next time.